from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1, verse 46 and following. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts and hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, and to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months, and then returned to her home. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Who is this her that the scripture speaks of? It ended by saying Mary remained with her. The her, if we back up just a little further, is certainly known most fully as the mother of John the Baptist, Elizabeth. One who Mary journeyed to see just as she had received news that she would be the mother of the Christ child, the giver of the gift of the earth, of the Messiah, Mary herself. So hearing this news, Mary journeys the 4 or 5 day trip to the hill country of Judea, down in the southern part of the nation, to see her cousin and celebrate this news. Now, I don't know about you, but if Mary had received this news in a different way, she may not have celebrated. She'd gotten the word from the angel of God that she was going to give birth to a child even before she was married. Now, for many of us, the temptation would have been to focus on the negative rather than the positive in that news, right? Mary was dealt quite a challenge. An opportunity that she would be shunned from her community, disowned perhaps from her family, rejected and tormented even by the people of faith. So understandably so. The challenge for me and you, and certainly even Mary, would have been to receive that news, not with joy and excitement and saying, "Sign me up, Lord." But maybe the response would have been, "Woe is me. Let this cup pass from me." But instead, Mary responds by not focusing on what could go wrong, but what was right with the proclamation of the angel. Wow. Her attitude, her response to every station in life, certainly had to impact the call of the angel to proclaim to Mary, "You will be the mother of the Son of God." Some of it surely must have been Mary's nature. And one of the greatest gifts, friends, I'm convinced that Mary gives to us, and I hope we'll hold on to this today and throughout Christmas, and maybe perhaps for the rest of our lives, if we are people living somewhat in darkness, depression, peril, sadness, or a lack of peace and happiness in our life, may we learn from Mary. What was it that she embodied more than any other attribute, it seems, than any servant of God, was this: the gift of joy. Mary defined in many ways and embodied what it means to live in joy from above. Joy, that happiness that transcends circumstances, that goes beyond whatever we're going through. An ability to be at peace, to be full of life, to live in light no matter how dark it is around us. That is something that Mary, the Mother of God, embodied. And the question before me and before all of us today that I must ask is, how did Mary do it? What was her secret? Is it something we can all learn from? Is it an ingredient that we can place into our life that can make us taste the world more joy-filled ourselves? Yes, I think it is. I think there's a lesson for us today of how we as people of faith, we as those journeying in this world that is sometimes dark, can live with more light and more joy and happiness. You know, one of the greatest gifts that Mary does, by beginning our passage of Scripture today, it says, as the sermon title did for us today, the Magnificat, at Mary magnified the Lord. Now, what does it mean to magnify something? We who have played with magnifying glasses certainly know that it makes it larger, right? Helps us to see an object more clearly. Opens our eyes and reveals to us something we had not seen before, or perhaps it had been hidden to us. And this is the nature, this is the word that Mary says, I'm going to embody in the light and love of our Lord. I'm going to magnify it. I'm going to make it where others see God's love more. I'm going to generate power through God's grace. Isn't that what a magnifier does too? Have you ever made something burn? Have you ever burned a piece of wood with a magnifying glass when you were a kid? There's power in magnification. And Mary says, this is the word that's going to define my relationship with God. Or better yet, church, hear this. How God empowers me to have relations with those around me. I'm going to magnify His love. I'm going to magnify His story. I'm going to magnify His message in everything I do, because it's not about me as much as it is about the Savior above. That's the message of Mary. The gift of Christmas, first and foremost, is that a Savior came down from heaven. But I don't know about y'all, the temptation for me so often, when I get in my woe is me state, when I get conquered with the depression and challenges of life, is that I don't magnify God or the good, I magnify the bad and the perils of life. Sometimes I focus on the wrong things. I can't see the tree for the forest, or the forest from the trees. Whatever it is, I magnify the challenges instead of the Savior. You know, I, one time in preparing for a family for their marriage and the rest of their life, they asked me to share as the preacher for their wedding, and it was a wedding off campus, away from the church. And after I agreed to the wedding, I found out quite quick that God wasn't going to hold a big place in this marriage service. Shortly after agreeing, I found out it was going to be a cowboy wedding. It was a cowboy wedding, and they had their boots on and jeans on, and certainly nothing wrong with that. But in the process of all the planning and getting everything together, they made sure they had the celebration covered, but they forgot who they were celebrating. You know, as we talked this morning during Sunday school, I reminded our young people, I said, as you start to plan your life, As you start planning the gift of a marriage at some point in your journey, never forget that oftentimes we spend months planning a wedding service that's going to last a few minutes and spend no time planning a marriage that's meant to last a lifetime. We must not forget who it is that we're to celebrate and who's going to journey with us in this life. Of marriage, of family, of church. It doesn't matter. We can speak of it being a marriage, a business, a family. But in all of those, we must place the magnification on God who can strengthen us and empower us to know more joy and our fullest life. Now in the cowboy wedding, I found out that my role was going to be even smaller because the director of the cowboy wedding, I found out quickly, was also the mother of the bride. Now that's a challenge, isn't it? The mother of the bride was, and she ran that thing like Adolf Hitler. She had everybody coming in when they're supposed to come in, going out. She even challenged them, look, if y'all mess with me, I'll kick you out of this thing. She was going to bench some of them. Even after they'd practice, I'd never seen anything like it. And she told me during rehearsal, "Hey, preacher, you can sit down here. I'll let you know when I'm ready for you." And she had all these rules, this big, thick book that she went through. And then toward the end of it, she wanted to support herself. She said, "Listen, I'm telling y'all, y'all listen to me. I know what I'm doing. I've done this 7 times now." And I said to the person beside me, I said, "Well, I know a lot of people that's directed more than 7 weddings. That doesn't," he said, "she means she's been married 7 times. She knows what it means to do a wedding." I said, "Well, she is quite experienced then." So throughout the service, though, it became evident to me that her magnification, her spotlight, even more so than on the bride, was really, she was making it about herself. Now, I'm not trying to beat up the mother of the bride and the wedding director only there, because I find myself doing that at times too. And maybe you do. Perhaps it's not a wedding. Maybe it's our business. Maybe it's our challenges in college or school or our friendships that we forget at times what should be the focus of our life. Is it our happiness, our plans, our desires, getting what I want, or in the spirit of Mary, hear me now, church, is our focus on magnifying God and glorifying Him? Wow. Now here's the beauty. Here's the miracle of grace that I want to share with you today, friends. Mary's focus was on magnifying, glorifying God, right? But guess what happened in the process? Guess what Mary received when she placed her emphasis on God. Hear it with me again in Scripture. Mary said, "My soul," in verse 46, "magnifies the Lord." And then in verse 47, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." You know what I hear that saying? What that says to me, that as Mary tried to magnify God, as she tried to focus on what good He was doing for her in the world around her, as she placed more emphasis on Him rather than self, in the process, she said, "My soul rejoices." Or in other words, the more we focus on magnifying and glorifying God, the more joy we know ourselves. See, that's how God turns the gospel and the world upside down. When we focus on Him and give up of self, then we ourselves know the greatest joy the most happiness that we can ever know in life and faith. So friends, during this Christmas season, may we learn from Mary, the mother of Jesus. May we magnify more fully to the world around us what God has done in our life, and in the process, know life in the fullest sense of joy that we could ever imagine. Amen. Friends, as we end our sermon today, I invite you, if you feel as though your life is filled with darkness, maybe you have felt that at some point on your life you knew the light of Christ and it seemed to have grown dim or drifted away. Maybe you've turned from the faith and there is no joy in your life. You can renew that journey with Christ today through prayer. Or maybe you've never trusted Christ. You've never began that journey as a Christian. Friends, it is this simple: to simply bow in prayer and to surrender with me. Let's pray together. God, we bow in your presence knowing that we are a broken people, that we often focus on the darkness of the world instead of magnifying life. Will you forgive us of our sin? We know that our sinfulness, there is no life in us. And for some of us, we've never truly believed that you are God's Son, but we feel something moving in us today that is helping us to believe, perhaps for the first time, or our faith to renew, that you are the Savior of the world, that you can deliver us from darkness into light, from death into life. In a way we never have, God, or in a new, renewed way, we confess you as our Lord. We confess you as the Savior of the world. And we ask you to come into our life that we may begin our journey or renew it even today that will last eternal as your children and recipients of your grace. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Friends, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, or prayed it for the first time in a long time, you have just renewed your journey or began it with Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. Visit with me after worship, or a pastor in your community if you listen to this sermon by audio recording this week. And understand that just as you began this journey, it's not the ending. That God yearns to grow His grace in you, now and forever, that you may know the fullness of joy found only in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's respond now.